everybody. I am Bill Buckmaster, along with producer Rosemary Brandt. Rose and I would like to welcome you to the Buckmaster Show, our midweek edition. It is June 11th, 2014. Rose, how do those people do it, driving around town with the top down? I know. No hat. I saw somebody driving in to the station today. Here the sun is beating down on them. No sunglasses. Cannot believe they can really take the hot wind in their face, but everybody is different. The Buckmaster Show, we are live 12:04 to 1 each weekday here on AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's voice. And we have a very busy agenda, as usual. We'll have a leadoff interview. Tucson City Councilwoman Rahina Romero is with me in studio. 30 minutes past the hour. We haven't talked with Dr. Mark Stegeman in a while. He'll be coming into the studio. Dr. Stegeman, a member of the governing board of the Tucson Unified School District. The Buckmaster Show Live Line is now declared officially open. If you have a question or comment, 790-2040. We also have a very active Facebook page. And if you know my name, you can find us on Facebook. It's Bill Buckmaster. Councilwoman Rahina Romero. Councilwoman, good to see you.
Good to see you. Thank you so much. I truly enjoy coming here and talking to you, Bill.
Well, we appreciate you being on the program, and you're always a very good sport about questions that come in. If people have any questions, positive or negative, Rahina Romero would like to hear from you, because after all, as a council person, part of the job, probably a very big part of the job, is listening.
Absolutely. Yeah. And actually, I enjoy, that's a favorite. My favorite part of the job is being able to have conversations with constituents and residents of the city of Tucson and outside the city of Tucson, too.
Well, I am very concerned, and a lot of people are concerned about what we're seeing, some of these pictures that are coming out of Nogales, the detention center there with the kids just kind of jammed into this big room. And Rahina, those pictures are really going all over the world. They've been on the front page of several London newspapers, and it's... It's really a humanitarian crisis.
It really is. And, you know, recently Congressman Raul Grijalva sent a letter to President Obama that I have a copy of, basically asking him to make it a priority and consider the same situation in terms of funding for the humanitarian situations that we're seeing with these children, the same as border security. And the policy, the immigration policy in this country has been really focused on security and not focused on a comprehensive immigration reform policy. And so for years, members of the Republican Party have said security, security, security. We've been adding billions of dollars of security along the border, but haven't really made it a priority. Family reunification, these children that are coming here within, I believe it's up to 45,000 children each year.
So you're saying the humanitarian piece of this has just completely fallen through the cracks.
It really has. And I think now that we're feeling it in terms of the children coming from Texas, and we're seeing it in Nogales, we're seeing people dumped at the Greyhound station within the city of Tucson. For several weeks, I've been asking our city manager and the staff to really put together a plan to think about, since it's in the city jurisdiction, this is happening in the city jurisdiction, especially now with Southwest Key, which is a nonprofit that's trying to get permits within the city of Tucson to create a shelter. Mm-hmm. I'm requesting that staff
This is new today. You're making a request. This has just happened. Tell our listeners what you're requesting.
Well, I've talked to Ernie Duarte, the Planning and Development Services Director. Talked to him through email, asking him that he make it a priority that he give this shelter their permits to be able to bring in children into that area. We're seeing the children in Nogales and the situation that they're in. There's no indoor toilets, no showers, nothing. So the city of Tucson is now tackling the issue straight on headfirst with this potential shelter that is happening, that Southwest Key, a nonprofit that runs shelters, is asking for a permit from the city of Tucson.
Would there be an emergency meeting if necessary?
That's exactly what I'm asking.
Are you willing to do that as soon as possible?
And you know, to be fair, Council Member Karen Ulick is working with the Department of Planning and Development Services. But I've also requested that if the mayor and council need to give further direction to staff regarding the haste of providing all the certificates of occupancy and permits to this organization, to this nonprofit, that we have a study session item to talk about it and give direction to our staff. So if, you know, I'm requesting if they need mayor and council direction, let us know. I can provide a memo requesting an item for next Tuesday by the end of the day today.
Okay, Rahina Romero is with us on the Buckmaster Show. Perhaps you would like to weigh in on all of this, 790-2040, 790-2040. And there are things, people are donating clothing and other items for these children down in Nogales. That effort has also begun.
Yes, Catholic Community Services is accepting donations for children from ages, I believe, 4 to 18. And Bishop Kikanis is very involved in this process. He's called a meeting for this Friday to talk about it. And more importantly, we have to see this as a humanitarian crisis. This is children, no matter of their nationality, socioeconomic status. These are children that we have to take a look at, make sure that they're being taken care of. And as a community, the federal government and our congressional delegation, the state, the county, the city of Tucson, Nogales, and other nonprofits like Catholic Community Services should be planning and making sure that we're all working together to make sure these children are safe.
Okay, we're coming up now on 12:12 on the Buckmaster Show, and the phone is ringing. We have several people that would like to speak with Rahina Romero, and I believe we have Jim up first. Jim, you are with us. Go ahead. Jim Kelly.
Good afternoon, Bill. Good afternoon, Councilman Romero.
Hi,
good afternoon.
My question is why is Tucson taking the lead on this? Why isn't Nogales and Santa Cruz County taking the lead on creating the environment for the refugees that are there? I've seen a sort of a Palestinianization going on, and I'm not sure that that's really where we need to be. I just think Santa Cruz County and Nogales be taking the lead with the federal government and the state, not Tucson.
And they are, Jim. They absolutely are. What I'm talking about is the children and the families that are being dropped off in the city of Tucson's Greyhound Station. And I don't know if you saw the story on today's paper. There is an effort by the federal government through a nonprofit. It's called Southwest Key. They're looking at it used to be a hotel on Oracle, and it became a student housing, and now Southwest Key is trying to make it a shelter for these children and families that are being brought to Tucson. So that's where the city of Tucson is involved.
Ms. Romero, my problem here is that we don't even have a hotel that can serve 200 guests at one time. What makes them think that they can serve 1,000 children at once?
This is it used to be a motor hotel. It was fixed. It's on Oracle Road. Council Member Karen Ulick is actually in charge of the situation. But this is and I don't know if it's a temporary shelter or long-term shelter that the federal government wants to refurbish through a nonprofit that the city of Tucson is unable to give permits to right now. So, it's something that is happening. It's not the city of Tucson's money. This is a federal U.S. Shelter that they're doing through a nonprofit.
There'd be no city of Tucson money.
But we need to acknowledge that when the federal government drops off families and children at a Greyhound bus station and they don't have any place to go, then it does become a humanitarian issue that the city of Tucson should get involved in.
Okay, this is a good point, Rose, to take a break. It's about, we're coming up on 12:15 on the Buckmaster Show. 790-2040 for Rahina Romero. We have quite a few other items on our agenda, but we certainly wanted to address that. That's what's the big story, really, what's going on at the border. We'll be right back on the Buckmaster Show.
If you want the great taste of bottled water without the hassle of going to the store, call Culligan and ask us about the Culligan bottled water delivery service either to your home or to your place of business. Culligan bottled water is as pure as it gets. The basis of the treatment of the bottled water is steam distillation. Its processing and its cleanliness is a healthy alternative to other beverages. Culligan water is fresh and delicious. One sip will tell it all. And since Culligan water is delivered right to your door, residential or business, you won't have to lug heavy bottles. Whether you have city or well water, Culligan can make your water taste better with an easy solution that fits any budget. Right now, for a limited time, you get 30-day full money-back guarantee, trial to include. Water dispenser free for 1 month. Initial 15 gallons of water free. Thereafter, $6 per month on the dispenser and $6.95 per 5-gallon bottle with an annual service agreement. Call Culligan at 792-9700 or visit us at arizonaculligan.com. Culligan, better water, pure and simple.
Widened and improved roads, new bike lanes, sidewalks, pedestrian crossings, and bus pullouts. Many of these safety improvements are funded by the Regional Transportation Authority through its 20-year plan, which is making a difference in our lives.
Hi, I'm Lori. I live near the Twin Peaks Interchange. Since that new interchange and road opened, life has become a whole lot simpler. The new road saves me time, and it's a beautiful drive. I love it.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you since 2006. Visit rtamobility.com or Facebook. Vero Amore restaurants are known as the place for authentic wood-fired Neapolitan pizzas, plus delicious pastas, panini, salads, and more. Every flavorful dish is homemade using the finest and freshest local and imported ingredients available. Vero Amore has two locations open daily, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events.
Hello?
Hey, honey. Just packing and getting ready for my flight home.
Great! You didn't forget about Adam's soccer game, did you?
Hey, it's his last game of the season. I wouldn't miss it for the world.
But you land at 4. How can you be there by 5?
No problem. I'm flying into Tucson. I parked right by the terminal, and the soccer field is only 10 minutes from the airport.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico make a great getaway for a weekend or longer. It's just 3 hours or so from Tucson and 15 degrees cooler to get to an area with so much to offer, from hiking, camping, exploring downtown historic Silver City, or just relaxing in a lovely environment. Visit southwestnewmexico.org for the complete list of great places to stay and visit in Silver City, Grant County, New Mexico.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Jerry!
What's wrong?
The client conference call is right now.
I thought it was next week.
I don't have the presentation ready.
Okay. Blame the internet. Say it went out.
They'll never believe that. They know we have Cox Business. Our internet is too reliable and is 100 times faster than basic DSL.
Say customer service is closed.
Cox Business has 24/7 support.
Well, say it would take too long to get a technician here.
No, they know the award-winning customer service is local. They told us to get Cox Business.
The call has started.
Good morning.
I forgot about this meeting. We have terrific internet.
Switch to Cox Business Internet and Voice for only $99 a month. Speed options up to 100 times faster than basic DSL. Plus, get a 30-day money-back guarantee and free professional installation with a 3-year agreement. Visit coxbusiness.com and switch today. Ends 8/31/14. Price excludes taxes, fees, and may be subject to minimum service requirements. Visit coxbusiness.com for internet speed options and details. Actual speeds vary. Limited 30-day money-back guarantee. Exclusions and other restrictions apply.
Well, 20 now on the midweek edition of the Buckmaster Show on AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice. Hello, everybody. I'm Bill Buckmaster. Rahina Romero is with me in studio, Tucson Councilwoman. The Tucson bond rating, according to the bond service, I believe it's the Fitch rating. It's something that's very important. Tucson keeps its AA bond rating, but Fitch and others are worried, kind of, Rahina, about the long-term future, and it's that big gorilla in the room, the pension fund.
Yeah. Right, and it's a good thing. It's a very, very good thing that Fitch and other rating agencies kept us as where we are. Mm-hmm. But just like all of us on the council, we agree that we need to work on our pensions, both police and fire, which we, the city of Tucson, has not much we can do with police and fire pensions because it's state run. But we can do with TSRS, which is the City of Tucson Employee Pension Funds. That and the conversation with our labor unions within the City of Tucson opening their looking at long-term, you know, mm-hmm. opening their contracts with the City of Tucson, both police and fire and other labor organizations, they need to be worked on. And actually, as a matter of fact, I have been advocating that that the City of Tucson, along with the labor unions, open up their contracts and that we look at everything from base pay to all of the other perks that and benefits that that employees, both in police and fire and civil folks have. So we're going to have a very busy year. I know that we're going through a lot of changes with Richard Miranda announcing that he's going to retire.
Yeah, the end of the month.
End of the month. Yeah. But I feel, to tell you the truth, I feel that the only thing constant is change.
Of course.
And so I'm looking forward to, I'm going to miss him tremendously, but I know that this mayor and council went in the right direction with our budget. We looked at the Parks and Recreation Department and had to make very difficult choices. We had to look at the department and restructure it. And with that restructuring came eliminating about 29 positions.
In Parks and Rec?
In Parks and Recreation. Mm-hmm. Only 17 of them were going to be layoffs or less, I believe. But that alone saved us $17 million. Now mm-hmm. we need to continue doing the same thing with General Services Department. We need to look at changes that we can do within police and fire. There's going to be many, many retirements in police and fire departments. But I see it as an opportunity to look at the structure and see if we can restructure in order to save money.
Yeah, Richard Miranda has been with the city forever. He's a Tucson kid. He grew up he grew up here. He was a kid, and then he went on, of course, had a fine career in police, became the chief of police, and then city manager. So he's had really a long career in public
and
service.
His love of the city of Tucson and the people of Tucson has never wavered. And, you know, he's done a wonderful service to the community. And I told him, Richard, you know, you have mastered the city manager. Now you're leaving.
Yeah, he's leaving now. So what do we do with the new city manager? Going to go, well, obviously there'll have to be someone who will be an interim manager.
My thoughts about this, and we discussed this at the last council study session, and my thoughts, and I think most of my colleagues agree, is that we want to hire an interim city manager that is not interested in applying for a long-term position because mm-hmm. we want to go do a national search. Mm-hmm. And hiring an interim city manager that's not interested in the position will assure us that they're serious individuals around the country that will apply for the position. We have an absolutely wonderful bench here in the city of Tucson. We have really knowledgeable and candidates that could do a great job in our assistant city managers. And we want to see what they have to offer and what other people around the country have to offer for the city of Tucson.
The charter of the city of Tucson has been amended just a couple of times. It's a 1920s era charter, and this did not get a lot of publicity. About you have pushed now for a charter review.
Yes, Councilmember Fimbres and myself put this on the agenda. We feel that, like any constitution, the Constitution of the United States has been amended to include much more progressive ideas and moving with the times. We feel that it's important that our charter is reviewed, that we take a serious look at it. We are appointing two members of the community each. They have to live in the city of Tucson, and the city manager gets one appointment. Mm-hmm. And we want to have a conversation. Remember, next year, there's going to be four of us running. There's going to be a city election. We need to give the review of the charter of the city of Tucson the opportunity to be on the ballot also.
People are very confused, though, when you bring up charter. They don't really know what it's about. How do you answer that to the people?
And it we need to have a community conversation. The last time there was a charter review and there was some items, charter changes put on the
ballot.
Was 2011, mm-hmm. and it was unsuccessful. Mm-hmm. I myself didn't agree with a couple of the changes that a few groups in the community wanted to do. I think we have to have a community conversation about it and educate the community. And to tell you the truth, I think we need to put some changes on the ballot that are small changes. So that people feel comfortable with the process and that they can support those changes and get people accustomed to voting for changes on our charter. I don't know how my colleagues feel. I don't think we should have issues that burn people's hair. You know, I don't want yeah. people with their
hair,
with their
on,
hair
fire.
On fire
yeah.
on this issue. We need to make changes to the charter that we can all agree with, especially at the beginning of the process.
Very important date is coming up in July. The modern streetcar will be launched in downtown Tucson. And despite what many of the critics say, it has brought a lot of investment already to the downtown.
Absolutely. We've seen more than $800 million in public and private investment alone. And the streetcars haven't even started running. Mm-hmm. So we have a lot of opportunity for further investment. I've always believed that that infrastructure investment made by our local jurisdiction and the federal government in the case of the streetcar leverages private investment. And so infrastructure is one thing that government should provide. And we're doing it with the streetcar. I'm very excited because there's going to be an official celebration on the 21st with our federal delegation. Congressman Raul Grijalva works so hard along with Mayor Walkup to bring the Tiger Grant to mm-hmm. the city of Tucson, $63 million.
You think history will be kind to both of them for their work on this thing, because Mayor Walkup took a lot of hits over the downtown redevelopment.
Right.
It wasn't happening fast enough, but you think...
Well, the work of Mayor Walkup yeah. along with Congressman Grijalva together, working together to bring the Tiger Grant to the city of Tucson, was a complete game changer for the city of Tucson. As soon as that announcement of mm-hmm. the streetcar was done, we saw private investment going up and mm-hmm. working double. Mm-hmm. So we still have a lot to see. There's still a lot of detractors, but I feel that working with the University of Arizona, the students there coming into downtown, the new places to live downtown for students and for working folks is just really important. And so I'm looking forward to the 21st. We're going to have the first ride. And then what I'm even more excited about is the 25th of July.
What's that?
We're going to have, that's when the streetcar goes on service.
Okay.
That is when people can use the system, and there's going to be 3 days of free rides to the community. And so those 3 days, we're inviting the community to ride the car and use it and love it and hopefully use public transit, both the streetcar and the bus system.
So you get a free ride.
Yeah, you get a free ride those first
All
three
right.
days.
All right, Rahina Romero, thank you very much. And you're always willing to hear from people at your office.
Yes, can absolutely. Call and, please call 791-4040, and I appreciate your invitation, Bill.
Thank you very much. Rahina Romero with us on the Buckmaster Show. We'll be right back.
SRN News. I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. Police say a 15-year-old gunman at an Oregon high school had an assault rifle, a handgun, several magazines of ammo during yesterday's attack. They also say an autopsy determined that the suspect, Jared Padgett, died of a self-inflicted gunshot wound. Republicans looking to move up in the House leadership won't have to wait until January, a day after Eric Cantor, the House Majority Leader, was defeated in a primary by a Tea Party newcomer. Officials say Cantor is planning to resign from his leadership post, perhaps by the end of next month. Fighting is reportedly still going on in the outskirts of the Iraqi city of Tikrit between military units and insurgents from a militant group inspired by al-Qaeda. On Wall Street, the Dow down about 100 points. The NASDAQ is off 8. More details at srnnews.com.
Today's rapidly changing world brings challenges and opportunities. At Pima Community College, we are working with business and community leaders to develop programs that provide the right training for today's high-demand jobs. Whether the goal is a new career, transferring to a four-year college, or lifelong learning, Pima Community College can help you open the door to new opportunities.
For more information, call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu.
Vero Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Vero Amore's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Vero Amore is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with two separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
Ready to do some antiquing? If you love a special one-of-a-kind object like I do, I strongly suggest Adobe House Antique, specializing in early 20th century European and American art, and they have the best selection in town of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, and on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
Devereaux, Arizona inspires hope in the lives of the most vulnerable members of our community, our children. In Pima County, there are more than 4,000 children in foster care that need your help. Devereaux, Arizona's foster care program gives you the training and support you need to make a difference in the life of a child. Donate, volunteer, or become a foster parent. Find out how at devereauxarizona.org or call 520-296-5551.
Tucson Desert Art Museum, Tucson's newest art museum, is home to one of the premier collections of pre-1940s Navajo and Hopi textiles, exquisite classic and contemporary paintings and photography, early maps and historic artifacts. Visualize history through art at Tucson Desert Art Museum on East Tanque Verde Road at Sabino Canyon Road, just west of Udall Park, and on the web at TucsonDart.com. That's TucsonDart.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Munger Chadwick are Arizona's business lawyers. Helping Arizona businesses for 40 years, Munger Chadwick is a strategic partner for many businesses operating in Arizona, the Southwest, Mexico, and globally. AV rated and ranked with the best lawyers of America, Munger Chadwick has recognized knowledge in all areas of business law, including corporate real estate, mergers, acquisition, employment, along with intellectual property and administrative law, and international trade, immigration, and government affairs. In matters involving disputes, Munger Chadwick takes pride in working with its clients creatively and aggressively, often resolving problems in ways that prevent or avoid litigation. Munger Chadwick, located in Tucson, Phoenix, and Tubac, business know-how with personal service. Visit MungerChadwick.com or call 721-1900. Twelve 35 on the midweek edition of the Buckmaster Show. I'm Bill Buckmaster. We're here on AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice. With me in studio, Dr. Mark Stegman. Dr. Stegman, a University of Arizona professor and longtime member of the TUSD Governing Board. Dr. Stegman, how are you today?
Very well. Thanks, Bill.
Are you having a pretty good summer?
I'm enjoying classes being out. Yes, I'm having a good summer.
That's what I was saying. Yeah, classes out, so no teaching this summer, just focusing on your work with the TUSD Governing Board.
And my research.
Oh,
as my department chair would remind me.
Your ongoing research,
of course. I have a 40% research contract.
So. Really?
That's standard at the university.
Oh, okay, so you'll be doing research this summer. This vote on upgrading software in the TUSD district, it's not the kind of subject the public gets all excited about. I mean, it doesn't seem like it's that big a deal, but you believe it's...
Except when we waste money on it. Then they get excited about
there
that.
There you go. But you believe that the vote was taken, a 3-1 vote, you voting against on May 27th. You believe this is probably one of the most important decisions to come before the board so far this year.
I think it will probably be the biggest decision we make all year. We have not had a good software implementation, enterprise software implementation for 15 years. That's when we adopted PeopleSoft. That was never back in the Garcia administration. That was never properly implemented. Then under Fagan, we switched to Lawson. I voted for that. I regret that vote. That hasn't been properly implemented, and these systems affect everything. Human resources, accounting, asset management, they cut across everything, and when it's not working, it's extremely costly. It's costly in performance and things being slow and not working right, and it's costly in money because we waste lots of man hours doing things the system should be doing. So this is a very consequential vote for everything that the district does, and I don't think the process was right. The product might or might not turn out to be right. With ERP systems, the implementation is at least as important as a product. Implementation is everything with these systems, and we don't have much of a plan, and the board wasn't presented much of a plan. So I'm concerned about it. It may work. The product is a credible product, but Lawson was a credible product too, and PeopleSoft is a credible product. So it's not just a question of a credible product. It's whether you match the product well to your needs, and then do you implement it well? That's been our problem.
But why did ERP get this cut?
Well, ERP, when I say ERP, I mean Enterprise Resource Planning. That's the kind of software.
Okay. But you're not happy with who this is going to?
Well,
the contract.
I just don't think we had enough of a process and enough information. The company is a Texas company,
okay.
Tyler.
From Tyler, Texas?
I don't know what city they're in.
Oh, I thought you said Tyler.
No, the name of the company is Tyler. I don't know what city they're in.
All right, there is a Tyler, Texas.
Oh, well, maybe that's where they're from.
Maybe that's where they're based. I don't know. But this
Of the company is Tyler. Okay. They acquired this software package, and the board was not informed about this, but they acquired this software package from an Arizona firm about 2.5 years ago. And the package is used by a lot of school districts already. So that's a positive sign. But Tyler just acquired it 2.5 years ago, doesn't have much support history, and it's one that's mostly been used by small districts. In fact, when the TUSD adopted PeopleSoft back 15 years ago, they rejected this package precisely because it wasn't designed for large districts. And staff said at the meeting in May that now they feel like the thing scales up and so forth and will be fine, but none of the districts that they reviewed that use the system are as big as ours.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm not sure that the system is used by any district anywhere as big as ours. So it's a little bit like Lawson. We're jumping off a cliff again using a package in a more complex implementation than it's been used before. I'm concerned.
Ahead. Yeah. Okay. Dr. Mark Stegeman with us, 790-2040. Dr. Stegeman, be happy to entertain any questions or comments. This efficiency audit recommended closing, not looking at school closures, but the district leadership really has taken that off the table. And when Adelita Grijalva was with us here on the Buckmaster Show a week or so ago, she said very emphatically, as you know, that that is not on the table. No more school closures. That's it.
Yes, and I think that's a regrettable
end of story, she said.
Position. Well, I have said myself that we did two big rounds of elementary school closures, and I think it's too soon to go back into that well, and I think we picked most of the low-hanging fruit. I think it's hard at this point to find more elementary school closures that make sense. There might be a couple. But we haven't even touched the high school picture, or hardly touched it. We closed one very small one. But I think the whole history of TUSD, it's never closed a major high school, and we have huge excess capacity there. And high schools are very expensive to run, much more expensive than elementaries. And I think when Dr. Petticone resigned, we were just about to get into that high school piece, and then that got put on hold, waiting for the efficiency audit. That was the rationale. And the efficiency audit came back and said, do it. And now our response is, well, we're not going to do it.
Yeah, it's off the table.
And I think in the case of the high schools especially, that's very unfortunate.
What high school would you close?
Well,
Dr. Stegeman.
People always ask that. And what you can do is you can start from the bottom and say what wouldn't close.
Okay.
So I'll say Tucson High wouldn't close.
Okay.
I think the University High wouldn't close. But then the problem is, the farther you work down that
everyone
list,
else would be suspect.
You're getting into dangerous territory.
All right.
And I don't think it's quite obvious, and I don't really want to discuss it, but the fact is, I think we need to look at that.
Let's go to the Buckmaster Show live line. Wayne would like to ask a question of two questions of Dr. Stegeman. Go ahead, Wayne.
Yes, Dr. Stegeman. I just was wondering that how is it that the vendors are always off the hook when you guys buy software that doesn't work? I don't understand that at all. It seems like the district and ultimately the taxpayers are the ones that are on the hook for stuff like that. And then secondly, I'd like to know, has anybody done any diligence at calling large school districts across the country, talking to the IT people, and finding out who is using what and how happy or unhappy they are with their software?
Okay, those are two good questions. When we haven't totally severed our relationship with Lawson, but we did actually get a settlement from Lawson. We got some money back. I think maybe we should have got a little bit more, but we did get some money back from them. I think ERP implementations are so complicated. It's not like buying a word processing package. They're always somewhat customized to the district, and when it's not working, it's a little hard to exactly assign accountability. I think it was partly Lawson's fault. I think a lot of it actually was our fault. And we got some degree of settlement. That's the best answer I can give there. On looking around the other districts, the staff said they went to 4 districts that had implemented this software, 3 in Arizona, 1 in New Mexico, and they said the software worked in those districts. But the largest of those districts was Deer Valley, which is about 2/3 our size. And this software has historically been one that was not designed for large districts. Now, supposedly, it's been upgraded, but I feel like this is a little bit of an experiment for us. And that's what we were doing for Lawson. We were bringing Lawson into a situation that they hadn't done before. And it was kind of an experiment for them. And this is a little bit of the same thing to see if they can handle a district this big. And I'm a little tired of us being an experimental platform. Now, it may very well work, but I thought that there was not enough analysis of this. We didn't go through a formal RFP. We didn't consider some other options that were out there. And the board voted for this thing an hour after they first heard the name.
What?
We heard the name, Infinite Visions, and basically an hour later there was some discussion, and that was it.
Why?
Same meeting.
Why?
It was so fast. Well, I think people feel like we're in a hurry. But when we get in a hurry, we make mistakes. And we've had numerous procurements in the past where we were in a hurry and made a mistake, and then the mistake ends up costing us 2 or 3 years later. And I hope that's not the case. And this product is used by a lot of districts. This product does have some credibility.
But no district that you know from the size of TUSD.
Right, that's right. Well, and none
Wayne's
with
Wayne's point, go talk to a district that is the size of TUSD and find out what they're using. Doesn't that seem...
Well, they are, and they're using different systems. In Arizona, the 10 largest districts, and I asked this question of staff in the meeting. I said, so we know lots of small districts in the state use this software. I said, of the 10 largest districts, how many use this software? And they said a majority. Well, it turns out only 3 of the 10 largest districts use this software, and they're all smaller than we are, which, I mean, it's better than zero. But when the board cannot rely on the information from staff, that's a problem.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know of any implementation in a district this large. So they did do some checking, but I think not enough. That's a long answer to your short question.
Dr. Mark Stegeman is with us on the Buckmaster Show as we are at about 12:45 on the program, 790-2040. You feel that school closings really should still be on the table, at least to look at, isn't that?
And at least high school,
yes,
at least the high school part, which we did some in the elementary, middle school, but we need to look at the high school part.
We're going to come back with Dr. Stegeman. He's agreed to give up some more time during his lunch hour. Give us a full half hour, and we'll be right back on The Buckmaster Show.
Here in Tucson, we love our beautiful mountain views,
but large windows and sliding glass doors are huge energy zappers.
At American Openings, we build our doors just like our energy-saving windows to keep the heat where it belongs, on the outside. No matter the style, American Openings will create your doors right here in Tucson at a fraction of our competitors' costs. And although the price is less, our quality is excellent. Call today and enjoy our beautiful views year-round without losing your cool.
Call 664-1202 or visit AmericanOpenings.com.
Today's rapidly changing world brings challenges and opportunities. At Pima Community College, we are working with business and community leaders to develop programs that provide the right training for today's high-demand jobs. Whether the goal is a new career, transferring to a 4-year college, or lifelong learning, Pima Community College can help you open the door to new opportunities.
For more information, call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu.
Hi, I'm Steve Christie. I've served as an RTA board member since 2009 and through last year as its chairman. The RTA continues to be a most successful regional effort, with the RTA and our member jurisdictions completing so far more than 540 construction projects to reduce congestion, increase our safety, and improve crosstown mobility. As part of the original Citizens Advisory Committee, I'm proud of our citizen-driven plan as well as the RTA's accomplishments. We deliver, we promise. Learn more at rtamobility.com.
Want the best care for your companion animal? Then Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson is the place for specialty vets for your special pet. With a state-of-the-art, award-winning facility, only the Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson delivers compassionate, comprehensive veterinary emergency and specialty care 24/7 in a wide range of fields. Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson at North La Cañada Drive at West River or online at vscott.com. That's VSCOT.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show, located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. Dr. Mark Stegman is with us, TUSD governing board member. And during the break, we had a caller, Dr. Stegman, very concerned that the board members, the TUSD board members, are in effect really not living up to their responsibility by overseeing staff. And what we've been talking about is this software decision, this 3-2 vote on May 27th, about new software.
3-1.
The vote was 3-1.
Right.
On May 27th about the new software package. And this caller was very upset that the board members should have said to staff, go back and let's do some more research on this.
Well, that's how I felt. I think that the TUSD board, and this goes back long before the current board, but for the long time has had a tradition of not doing much oversight. And this is something I've never agreed with, and I often try to push a little more oversight, and I try to get us to rely on our citizen committees that have expertise. We have a technology committee, and we have an audit committee who I think both should have been involved in the review of this procurement, and we involved neither one of them. So we have all this volunteer expertise sitting on the sidelines and not even consulted. But I think the ethic, the culture of the majority of the board is let staff do it. And a typical conversation, this goes back the whole time I've been on the board, when I'm saying something like, let's do more oversight, let's look at this.
And how is that
received? Well, they'll say, this is micromanagement. That's a typical response. And of course, it can wander into micromanagement. I mean, there is a gray area there. But I think that...
So they're saying you're trying to kind of micromanage the whole, what staff should be doing.
But I would say, not surprisingly, no. I think this is a huge procurement that affects the whole district.
How big a contract
and
is
and wanting to be fully informed, you know, is not. Yeah. I don't think that's micromanaging.
What kind of money are we talking about?
Well, one thing about this package is it's relatively cheap compared to Lawson. So we're talking initial implementation, a couple $1 million.
Okay.
Those costs tend to go up over time because people always underestimate it. Mm-hmm. But it's still a lot of money, and it's not just the money, but how well this works is going to affect everything.
Mm-hmm.
And I think more oversight would help this district. We don't want to get into a place like PCC, and I'm not saying we have exactly those issues, but the critique of the PCC board was it became captive of staff and didn't conduct any oversight. And I think the TUSD board often wanders close to that territory.
The Star today, the Arizona Daily Star, has another story about magnet schools. TUSD plans no magnet school eliminations next year despite proposals. We had talked earlier in this interview about no school closures. We didn't mention magnet schools, and this thing seems endlessly to be going back and forth. on this issue.
It is. This is a very tough issue. The Pentagon administration is wrestling with it, and then Sanchez inherited it. And it's complicated because you have the district, you have the plaintiffs, you have the special master, and then you have community groups that are very active. And so you have all these people defending their own interests energetically. And it is hard to navigate that. The Pentagon administration wanted to shut some magnets, and so did the special master. I think that probably made sense. I supported it. The current board and the Sanchez administration have backed off of that, as the Star says, and they're not closing any right away. And I am sympathetic to that because there are a lot of conflicting interests, so I don't want to be too critical of that. In fact, I've said I'll support it. But it's kind of bad that we send different messages at different times, and there's been a little too much back and forth on this issue. But again, it is a very tough issue.
In April appointed Augie Romero to be the principal of Pueblo High School.
Yeah.
I think it was 3-2 vote. Yeah. You voted against that appointment, correct?
Yes.
Did you feel that he really didn't have the experience, or what did you think?
Augie is best known for running the Mexican-American Studies program for years, but mm-hmm. I think that is really a separate issue from this. Augie had never been a principal. I don't think he's ever been an assistant principal, and Pueblo's a huge and complicated problem, and I thought that was a very strange appointment just from the viewpoint of experience.
And then Principal Rex Scott was removed from Catalina.
Yeah, and Rex Scott was a principal that had lots of experience, and people loved him. And there were some performance questions, and that's why the superintendent removed him. And I supported that. But it was an odd thing, basically, within a month of each other, to take Rex Scott out of one of our big high schools and put Augie Romero in charge of another one.
Another issue you've been very, very strong on is this weakening of discipline policies. You're very concerned about that.
Yes, last year I thought we went in the wrong direction. We lose a lot of families because of school climate issues, bullying issues. And last year we actually weakened our policies, gave principals less discretion, partly because of what the court said, but we went beyond what the court required. And I've been lobbying since then to get some of that back. And last night, actually, we did get a little bit of it back. The staff agreed to restore a little bit of principal's discretion, and I thought that was a good step. I think we need to go farther.
Does this tie the hands of the principal and discipline?
Well, I think we have done too much of that. Now, the principals might say no, and partly that's because it's not a smart thing to say yes, and partly because principals, a good principal can work around things and manage their school. But in general, I think we need to give principals options, and we need to clarify their authority. And we have really tied their hands too much in discipline. And I know that a lot of the teachers feel that way. Some of the teachers have felt kind of defenseless in the past. And of course, Central would say they're not, and probably they are not. But I think there have been a lot of mixed signals. And I'm glad to see us going a little bit back.
All right, coming up now on 12:57, we're going to wrap it up very shortly with Dr. Stegeman, and hopefully we'll have Superintendent H.T. Sanchez with us on the Buckmaster Show in the very near future.
And I do support the superintendent.
What about his evaluation? This is the one-year evaluation for him.
Yes. Well, the problem we have is that the board, this is the first time since I've been on the board, that the board didn't actually set him any explicit goals or evaluation criteria when they hired him. So
really?
It's hard to evaluate someone against goals that weren't set. But I think we'll give him a favorable evaluation.
But you like the man personally.
I like him personally, and I think he's made a lot of needed changes. We've changed 25% to 30% of our principals this year. And
wow.
Some of that was natural retirements, but not all of it was. And I think he's made a lot of good changes that will pay dividends going forward.
Okay, Dr. Mark Stegeman, thank you very much. You are not up for re-election this term, correct?
Yes, yeah. Darn it.
Yeah.
I won't get all that excitement.
You're up when? When is your next?
Well, if I go up again, it'll be in 2016.
Well, you were saying you weren't going to run the last time up until the...
Oh, I don't think I ever said for sure.
All right.
We'll see how things are going.
We'll see. Time will tell. The old worn cliche. Dr. Stegman, yes. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Bill.
This portion of the Buckmaster Show presented by, have you been over to Silver City, by the way, one of our fine sponsors, Dr. Stegman?
I'm sorry to say that I haven't.
Well, you're missing out on a huge opportunity to enjoy one of the really beautiful areas of America, just 3 hours east of Tucson, to historic Silver City with its rich Western history, galleries and museums, including the finest collection of Mimbres pottery in the world at Western New Mexico University, which is based there in Silver City. There are plenty of great places to stay, including Wilderness Lodge, Agave Ridge Retreat, and Cottage of Whispering Canyon. Check it all out about the great places to stay and things to do at southwestnewmexico.org.
All right. Maybe if I go, we can talk about it next time
there
I come on
go.
The show.
Dr. Mark Stegman, thank you very much. Coming up this afternoon, For Tucson at 4. It's a new talk show, local talk show, from 4 to 5 here every weekday. Mike Shaw is the host. Give it a listen. Check it out. And then tomorrow morning, it's Wake Up Tucson, Chris and Joe. Then the Daily Double with Chris DeSimone is from 8 to 9. And then 12:04, producer Rosemary Brandt will be at the board. And I'll be on the other side of the glass, your host, Bill Buckmaster. Have a great afternoon, everybody.
Intelligent Talk 24/7, AM 1030, KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. On the web at KVOI.com.